Well, we do know that Australia is under attack from many different kinds of weeds. North Queensland has its own problems with some of the worst weeds on the planet. And along the North Queensland coast, there's a semi-aquatic weed called Hymenacne that has caused considerable issues. It got so bad at a place called Keating's Lagoon near Cooktown, the weed had pretty much forced everything else out, including the birds. Getting that lagoon back to its pristine state has not been easy, but that is something that a group called Cape York Weeds and Feral Animals Incorporated have managed to achieve over many years. And I got the environmental operations manager of that group, a bloke called Trevor Meldrum, to just explain how they did it.
It was brought in as a ponded pasture grass by the DPI from Egypt. They thought it was going to be good for bullocks, which it is, if it's managed properly, but like everything, it was never managed.
Do you know how it got into this wetland in particular near Cooktown?
We think it's come from birds because it was planted out in the Endeavour Valley, and we think the birds have brought it across because it's not that far across to where it was originally planted on the Endeavour River.
And why was this Keating's Lagoon just prime breeding ground for Hymenacne?
Well, because it's a lagoon, the water slows down, and Hymenacne is not going to get washed away other than during the flood season. And once it starts to trap sand, it just expands on itself.
Pretty much.
Trev, this looks like a beautiful... This is one of the most beautiful wetlands you can imagine. But how do you spray weeds that are growing in water?
Well, you find out exactly what's registered for it, and then you just start at one end, pretty much. And if you've got to walk in neck-deep water, well, that's what you do.
Walk? Oh, I thought you'd be in a kayak or a boat or something, no?
Boats where we can, yes. But if it's when it's dried out, there's bugger all water in here, enables you to get to a lot. But I tell you what, it's a lot of hard work with gumboots and whatever else. A lot of hand-pulling is done in the more environmental sensory areas to try and stop that, because what we're using is a biodegradable salt, and you just got to be careful.
You'd also have to be careful about another one or two little things around here that wouldn't mind living in a place like this. Do you have a resident neighbourhood salties?
Oh, the old crocodiles are there. You just make sure you keep one eye in the back of your head.
Do you have to have a spotter, though, for safety reasons?
Pretty much for workplace health and safety, we do, yes.
Have you ever had one come close while you've been spraying, or do they keep their distance generally?
They generally keep their distance. I haven't found them to be a problem. I find snakes are more of a problem than the old crocodile.
What kind of snakes would you get annoying you when you're trying to spray weeds around a place like this?
The old freshwater water python, and you also get the carpet pythons on the land side of it, and you also get death adders here, and... Taipans, pretty much.
Oh, geez. Some that you definitely don't want to get bitten by.
No, exactly.
Any of them curious? Any of those species? They come up and have a look at what you're doing usually?
No, they're generally more afraid of you than you are of them. But still, I make sure that I bolt every time I see one.
I wouldn't blame you. Now, you mentioned feral pigs before. We're here talking about weeds. You're known as a weed killer, but you also work on feral animal management.
Yep.
How big can the pigs get around these wetlands near Cooktown?
Oh, they've had... With some of the hunters have come in with the hog hunt that they have every year, some of them are 120-odd kilos. They're big fellas, don't worry about that. This area is ideal for them because it's full of the roots and the vegetables and the worms and that they eat. And that was one of the things when we decided to ask about the feral pig fencing was what benefits were we going to have. And you can see the benefits. You can see how clear that water is now, and we've had a wet season.
We are standing in a place which is a real success story for feral animal and weed management in North Queensland, the Keating's Lagoon near Cooktown, which, if you were hearing the start of this interview with Trevor Meldrum, you'd know wasn't the pretty picture it is today when they first started tackling the problem. So are we looking at the benefit of how many years of work, Trev?
Basically since 2005 when we first started, Jason Carroll and I first started discussing it, and then we decided to do something about it pretty much.
Is this one that you could point to the politicians any day of the week and say, if you're ever doubting, you know, what investments in weed management and feral animal management can do for a place, this is it?
Well, this is not the only one. We've also got the Endeavour River that I was telling you about yesterday with Bond Apple. We've had a success story there, but we started 25 years ago. It's all about follow-up. You've got to keep at it.
So you can't just come in here one dry season, spray it out and then leave? It won't kill the whole thing?
No, because you'll have what they call as a seed bank. There's a seed, whatever the plant puts into the soil, it has, once the adult plant is gone, it'll come up in the next lot and so on and so on. It's all about follow-up. If you're not prepared to keep at it, don't even start.
It's just so many things that governments need to find money for. Do you feel like weeds and weed management, it doesn't rank highly on the list usually?
Well, it doesn't, because generally when they cut funding, the first thing to go is environmental money. But I have serious problems with that, because we need to protect our environments for future generations, not just for us.
Hearing from the man they call the weed killer up here, well, I'm calling him the weed killer anyway. It's a great apt description of what he's been doing for the last 25 years. Trevor Meldrum is his name, and he's with Cape York Weeds and Feral Animals.
Incorporated.
Don't forget the Incorporated. So you're not a charity, basically. You're an organisation, are you?
We're a not-for-profit Indigenous group. The community group, yeah.
It's an Indigenous community group.
Yep. Our chairman and myself are part of the Indigenous group, yeah.
Do the local traditional owners value and appreciate the work that you're doing to restore sites like this?
Very much so. We have a lot of comments and a lot of people from the traditional owners that come out and help us.
You know, why would you say to people listening to this that don't ever get out to wetlands and get to see, you know, places of Australia that are affected by weeds, how do you talk to people that might not be as sympathetic to your cause about why you think it's important?
Well, the only way that I can talk to them is take them out and show them and realise that without these special areas like we've got here, we don't have an environment, and therefore you have no place to live.
What about you? You've got the ear of people living in the cities now. I mean, a lot of people have gardens. Do you think that as common gardeners occasionally we can be part of the problem?
Well, humans can be, because they it's very hard for them to know what to do if they don't want to plant. A lot of people just throw their, and that's how a lot of these weeds have got into waterways, is because they've been thrown out of their fish pond, or they've just been discarded and left in an area where people think they're going to die, but they don't. They get spread by water and birds and everything else. And the biggest problem is too, is people don't know what weeds are. And that's a big battle that we've got to trying to get people to realise that if there's something different there, at least pick it up, take a sample and come and get it identified.
Do you get any citizen science happening with weeds? Yeah. Are you finding that people actually know what a weed is?
I've just been doing a project for the state government on that very thing with capacity building, trying to do weed ID with different groups, and I do a fair bit of work with the school, with the seniors. And, if we can get the ID in, or at least teach people how to plant press or take samples and press them and bring them into us, even if it is native, we don't care. At least we know that if something's come out or can be a problem, and belted before it starts.
Have you ever had anyone that successfully ID'd a weed that you didn't know was somewhere and then you were able to go and find it?
Yes, we had an identification of rat's tail grass in Lakeland, giant rat's tail, American rat's tail, which we didn't know about and I had never seen before. That was probably about 2008 or 2009, and I hadn't seen it. They brought it in. We had to send it to the Barbara Waterhouse in Cairns. And she identified it. But, yeah, the person who brought it in said, that's giant American rat's tail. And I said, yeah, well, we don't know. And we didn't. So, yeah, we don't know everything.
When we sit here and look out over somewhere like Keating's Lagoon and you look at what it looks like now compared to what it was like when you started 13 years ago, do you feel a sense of pride, Trevor Meldrum?
I do. I'm quite proud of what we have, as a community, that we've been able to achieve just by sheer hard work, eh?
So that was Trevor Meldrum there from Cape York Weeds and Feral Animals.